A little on the book's structure. Part 1. When you get started with the book, you will discover that part 1 is about some of the challenges I have had to deal with in relation to my eye condition, but also about who I was as a person throughout my life until 2016. Part 1 is about how I slowly moved further down hopelessness street and ended up living a life of stress, depression, and limitations. The purpose of part 1 is to help you better follow my footsteps to the realization that I had to change the way I handled these limitations. And remember that the challenges I talk about in part 1 could have been completely different challenges. They could easily have been the challenges you are experiencing in your life. I hope it will make you curious and interested in the tools I found to move forward, and that you will explore further how I was able to change the way I viewed my world and my life. The anecdotes and comments you're going to read reveal some of the topics that we are going to work on in part 2. These little hints might just kickstart ideas in your subconscious, and that's what we are going to talk more about in part 2. Part 2. I hope that you will stay with me throughout part 1, but if for some reason you don't want to read my personal story in part 1, then I would recommend at least starting with the chapter, Meeting at the Municipality, an experience that changed everything, and then delving into part 2, where I share a lot of knowledge and the tools I used to change course from Hopelessness Street to Possibility Road. I'm still dumbfounded about the fact that I knew nothing about how to change habits and behaviors, something that so many people are now struggling with. I can't understand why we don't learn about this in school. If you find part 2 too theoretical and distant from what you already know, or if you just can't relate to meditation, mindfulness, or brain research for beginners, try moving on to part 3. But remember that in order to understand the deeper meaning of the examples I share in part 3, it may be helpful for you to go back to part 2 afterward. Part 3. In part 3, I arrive at Possibility Road, and I share the story of how I used the knowledge that I tell you about in part 2 to change many of my limiting beliefs. I'm going to show you how action, knowledge, and determination gave me new strong core beliefs, and that these were now predominantly positive. You could say that part 3 is a recipe and inspiration for how you too can work with your own limiting beliefs. The examples given could have been accomplished in various other ways. The most important thing to understand in part 3 is that if you want to change your limiting beliefs, you have to do instead of just thinking, worrying, and ruminating. If along the way you find yourself wondering at strange encounters and conversations with the mysterious letterman, don't despair or get confused. Just read on. It will make sense in the end. Happy reading. Part 1. Hopelessness Street. Friday, July 28, 2017. I had come to a standstill. I had shut down. Didn't know how to move on. I was suffering from stress and depression. Everything looked bleak. An inner voice ran on repeat in my head. You're going to be blind. And there's nothing that can change that. You're useless. Just give up now. I have a disease that is slowly making me go blind. For years, I put on an Oscar-worthy performance, acting as if it wasn't a problem that I needed to deal with. But then the realities of the disease hit me. I am going blind. It was as I sat feeling most saddened by this dark fact that I got a mysterious call from an unknown number. Now, normally I don't bother to take such calls. They're usually pushy salespeople trying to sell you something. But this was different. For some reason, I picked up my iPhone and swiped enter. "It's Morten," I said. There was silence on the other end. I repeated, "It's Morten." "Hello." Then I heard a faint voice.
"Is that Morten?"
"Yes, it's me," I answered a little irritated, and the voice began to speak a little clearer. And what it said, completely out of the blue, had me sitting on the edge of my seat.
"Morten, you're in a very dark place in your life, and right now you're wondering how to get back into the light. Am I right?"
There was silence for at least 10 seconds. I was struck dumb. My summer vacation had started 2 days earlier, and I'd been thinking a lot about how to move on with my life. After spending 6 months ruminating and worrying about how to change my life from being sad and depressed all the time over losing my sight someday. I lost count of the times I had asked myself, "What is my future going to look like as a blind person? Will I be able to do anything?" That someone should contact me without warning and put into words what I had been brooding over came as something of a shock, to put it mildly. I was quiet for a moment. Thoughts rushed through my head. Who was this man? How did he know something so private about me? Something I hadn't ever told anyone else? I considered pressing the red telephone icon, but something kept me from ending the conversation. Something told me to listen to this man, despite another instinct saying, "Hang up, now!" "Who am I speaking to?" I asked carefully, getting up from the sofa and walking out onto the patio. I had to be alone for this conversation.
"Morten, this is a call you've been waiting for. And if you listen to what I have to say, I will help you with what you're going through right now. And I promise you, you will become the person you dream of becoming."
I gasped. This was scary. I had just started reading books on self-development, and I was inspired by reading stories about people who did the unthinkable, despite them having severe limitations or disabilities to deal with. Only the night before, I had watched a video on YouTube about a man, Nick Vujicic, who was born without arms and legs, and yet had created an amazing life for himself, found the love of his life, had children, learned to walk without legs, learned to swim without arms, and who was now traveling around the world giving inspirational lectures to thousands of people. I had asked myself, how can he look so brightly on life when I look so darkly on mine? How can I change my life and see possibilities and opportunities instead of constantly seeing limitations? I had told myself I wanted to be that kind of person. But how? And how did this stranger know what I was thinking? I gathered myself and said as resolutely as I could, "How do you know what I'm thinking about? And what exactly do you want with me?" The answer came without hesitation, and I noticed that there was an unusual friendly and nice vibration in the way he responded.
"If you dare to believe that you can change how you see your world, and if you believe I can help you, then it will happen. But you have to believe it 100%. Do you believe, Morten?"
Without faltering or thinking, the answer came out of my mouth, and it surprised me. I stated loudly and clearly, "I believe you." We continued chatting over the phone, and after 15 minutes, I was convinced that this man could help me and that it was now or never. He made me truly believe that I could change my way of thinking and I could feel my mood lifting.
"I do have one condition for helping you, Morten. I'm going to give you some tasks and you have to promise me that you will do your very best to accomplish these tasks. Do you promise?"
Energized by a rare positive force, I answered again without hesitation, "I promise."
"The first task I'm going to give you, Morten, is this. You are to write a book about the journey you are now embarking on, And you have to believe that you are absolutely capable of doing it. I will help you, I will make sure you make progress, and I will give you advice and guidance. You just have to accept these terms. What do you say, Morten?
Now I hesitated. Write a book? I said uncertainly. I have no idea how to write a book, and I don't see why I should write a book. Who would want to read it? I don't believe I can.
Don't think of it as having to write a book, Morten. You are going to do a number of tasks that eventually will make you think like a new person. A person who can see opportunities and who can get the best out of life. That's the most beautiful gift we have ever received. Trust me, you need to write the book to remind yourself of what you've accomplished and about what you have been able to do with your mind. You don't know what that is yet. Therefore, the book is going to act as a kind of diary for you. Something you can refer to later and that other people can be inspired by. Do it now. You can do it.
I let the words circulate in my head for a moment. It all made sense, in a way, even if it was totally absurd and unreal. Okay, I'll do it, I replied, feeling better than I ever remembered before.
That was the first difficult decision, Morten. You're on your way now. Your life is never going to be the same again.
This was so incredible. I was still standing on the patio, talking on the phone with a stranger who was telling me he could change my life, and I believed every word he said. Completely. I must have gone mad.
You have to start your book now. Start by looking back over the life you have lived. I want you to tell me where you come from and share some of the highlights of your life. As you write, try to think about what beliefs and thoughts have dominated your mind during all these years. It may not make sense to you now, but it will. You have to trust me.
Okay, was all I could say. I'd better get started.
Good, Morten. I'll contact you again and ask you to share with me how the manuscript is developing. I will then read it through and give you new assignments. My name is Mr. P, and I'm going to change your life. That is my promise to you. But there's something I have to warn you about.
I stiffened. Ah, I thought. Here's the catch. Mr. P continued.
I haven't told you everything yet. Two other people are going to contact you during this process. It's a condition you have to accept, a price you have to pay. These two people are my colleagues. They work for the same organization that I do. One is Mr. N, and the other is Mr. F. Our names are a tad enigmatic, but once the process is over, I promise that I will reveal our full names and what they mean. I will tell you more about who we are. For now, you need to know that Mr. N and Mr. F will try to confuse you and lay traps for you. They'll try to talk you out of it and instill fear in you. It's your job to try to find a way through these challenges without letting them get to you. I'm sure you can, and I'll help you.
Okay, I managed to stammer. I'm starting to doubt that this is a good idea.
This is the only way if you want to get on with your life, Morten. All you have to do is believe. Believe in that voice inside you that is saying yes to this project.
With those words, Mr. P hung up and the phone went silent. How do you write a book? I thought. I had no idea, but I was determined to find out. So 2 days after my conversation with Mr. P, I found myself sitting down in front of my computer, staring at a blank Word document. I decided just to start and see what would come out of it. And so I started to type.